With NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Episode 23, NFR Extra. I am your host, Nevada Caldwell.
And I'm your co-host, Rockin' Robbie Hodges.
Man, Robbie, this is an interesting lineup we have here.
Yes, it is. It's a little bit different, too. I think the folks are going to enjoy it because it's two guys from a totally different perspective. You know, Randy Bracker.
Yep.
And he's with the ARC.
Yes, he is.
And we'll explain more about ARC. I don't want to get into it. I'm going to let him explain it. And then Chef Craig. I had no idea. I thought we were going to talk about brisket and stuff like that. This guy is an awesome fan.
And yeah, and I think, you know, we're going to find out about why Gillies is a TI. You know, what goes on with that, yeah. Why it's so important. And, yeah, we're talking to a chef about rodeo in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He's almost like a manager. It's not even the chef part of it. I mean, he's more like the I don't know how to describe it. He's like general manager or something.
Yeah, he oversees a lot of things. I mean, yeah. Obviously the questions we have geared up for him are not about food.
No. That surprised me. So I think you're going to enjoy it.
This is Briley Bentley covering the Rodeo News of the Week.
Trevor Brazil captures the 7th steer roping world title in number 25, Gold Buckle. Brazil placed in 6 rounds of the NFSR and won the average with a time of 131 seconds on 10 head. This year's national anthem singers are Jamie O'Neill, Easton Corbin, Billy Dean, Jackie Akers, Allie Burgett, Tracy Lawrence, military personnel from Nellis Air Force Base, Mark Chestnut, Craig Campbell, and closing us out will be Andy Griggs. Congrats to our top 15 barrel racers, Nellie Miller, Haley Kinzel, Lisa Lockhart, Shaylee Lord, Brittany Posey-Tanazi, Stevie Hillman, Emily Miller, Jessica Reuter, Donna K. Rule, Erica Nelson, Ivy Conrado, Amberly Moore, Jennifer Sharp, Cheyenne Wimberly, and Lucinda Rose. That's rodeo time.
To celebrate the 35th anniversary of the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, LVE and PRCA present the top 35 most memorable moments.
Never count out Trevor Brazil. That's a lesson learned long ago by every cowboy brave enough to go toe-to-toe with the king of the cowboys. Brazil announced his retirement from full-time rodeo just prior to the 2018 Wrangler NFR. When the lights went out on round 10 last year, he finished a script that was Hollywood-worthy, needing a win in the final round in tie-down roping to outduel his biggest rival, Tuff Cooper, for the 2018 all-around world title.
He puts a rap movie on him and says, you know what, Tuff? If you're going to beat me, you're going to have to come do it, buddy.
The winningest cowboy of all time rode out of Thomas and Mack with a 24th gold buckle, his 14th world champion all-around title. No one owns more records than Trevor Brazil, starting with his gold standard of 54 total national finals qualifications. Professional rodeo's only $6 million man, 73 NFR go-around wins, 14 all-around world titles, and he's won nearly $3 million just at the National Finals Rodeo. To add to his incredible NFR legacy, Brazil is qualified in tie-down roping. He's qualified in team roping as a header and a heeler. Throw in steer roping, and he's qualified for the National Finals in 4 different events and won world titles in 4 different categories. Even though Brazil is semi-retired, he recently won his 25th World Championship, showing the world and his peers that he still got it at the National Finals steer roping. However, at this year's Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, the King of the Cowboys will just be a spectator.
This is an emotional night for me because this is the last night I'm going to be standing right here. But I'm going to be sitting where you guys are because of who's around me right now. The future of this sport is so bright. Pro Rodeo's in a good spot. I'm going out in an unbelievable spot. I love you. Everything I've got has been through rodeo. Thank you.
Trevor Brazil.
wherever you listen to the NFR Extra podcast, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, or even YouTube, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And let us know what you think of this episode or any episode by leaving a comment.
Howdy, I'm Bob Tallman, and this is NFR Extra.
NFR Extra, when grabbed an individual out of the rodeo business side of things, he's straight out of the Rodeo Art Committee. Welcome to the show, Randy Brocker.
Hey, Randy.
How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, we're going to get into this.
Your guys' show's been phenomenal. I've been listening to it as much as I can. I live out in the sticks where we don't have very good internet, but with all that being said, we're getting better at it and try to get your social media and all that stuff and listen to it. Bo sends me links quite a bit, so he keeps me up to date.
Nice. So you're okay. So just like when we had Cody Johnson on the show, like Cody's never at home or in an office, or he's always working. And like when we interviewed him, literally was putting in posts out in his backyard, setting up stuff for I don't even know what, but That's where he did it from, on a speakerphone. And, you know, I mean, it's the mobile technology is starting to help out connect. Like we couldn't have done this 20 years ago, Randy, you know?
No. Oh, bag phone.
Yeah, right?
Yep. No, I'm sitting on top of the hill staring at a bunch of cows grazing on some circles that I shipped in yesterday, and the only reason I'm on top of the hill is because if I drive a half a mile either way, I'll lose phone service.
Oh, well, thank you for going up there on the hill. That's the curse of the cowboy right there. You know, we get these good guys in here that work hard. They're going to keep working, so you can count on that. They don't come in, set in the air conditioner, and talk about our heater in Oregon, I'm sure, by now.
So, you know, it's actually warmed up a little bit. It didn't get above freeze in the last 2 weeks, but
goodness,
it might hit 50 today.
Oh, take that.
Beach weather, that's right. Yeah. So we want to talk a little bit about the ARC stuff and some of the stuff you're involved in and some really good news about what you got going on with Pendleton and everything. I think folks would like to hear a lot about that.
Yeah, I'll kind of jump around, but I'll give you kind of a backstory on myself and then me moving up through and into the Association Rodeo Committees. I'm a fifth generation farmer, diversified ranch in eastern Oregon. Everything from dryland wheat and peas to cattle and alfalfa and grass seed, etc. Raise some pears. My brother and I are owner operators of the ranch now, and looking forward to my two kids and his two kids carrying the torch on, and so we're trying to grow it so we can feed four families instead of two.
Oh, that's good.
And I was an avid team roper and started single steer roping a little bit. My next door neighbor's Tom Story is a pretty successful steer roper and hell of a horseman, and so I'd go up there and rope with him a little bit and kind of caught the, I'd say, civic volunteer bug. My mother and father were always involved in community organizations, and so I just happened to be the cowboy of the family. And my next door neighbor, I would say out here in the country, about 8 miles away back then, was Andy Ely, who raised a bunch of bucking horses for the Beard String and Beaver Fever that Bridwell's had that passed away here last year was one that came out of him.
Oh, yeah.
He had some pretty good horses, and he's still in the business, and he's actually got some futurity colts coming up. But so he started a little rodeo in Helix, Oregon, and that was basically a rodeo for a scholarship for the little town of 180 people, and they've got, 50 or 60 kids in that whole dang school, and so they were looking for a way to raise some money, and so they started a little rodeo, and I'd help them out and work behind the chutes or wherever I needed and learn the production side of the sport. And then Farm City Rodeo kicked off when I was little and helped them out running the chutes or being an usher or serving food, just wherever it was they needed help. And in 2000, after I got out of college, I had a cattleman friend that asked me that I'd come help them out at the Pendleton Roundup. Wow. And so I'd been affiliated with the night show there, that Happy Canyon, for quite a while, and I got the opportunity to go over and help them out sorting cattle and working behind the chutes. And 2012, I think it was, or 13, they asked me to if I'd join the board of directors there, and it's a process of basically like a job interview for a selection process. And Pendleton's a little bit different than a lot of boards that we you don't have term limits, or you have term limits compared. You know, there's a lot of rodeo committees out there that
really
you're getting on and you're volunteer and you can be a committee man for 20, 30, 40 years. Pendleton's 2 4-year terms. And then if so asked or nominated, you can be a president for 2 years. So really 10 years and you're back to a volunteer and go select somebody else out of a volunteer pool.
Keep it fresh.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. Yep. It's worked.
So I've been,
Yeah,
it's just a different way to do things. And so in 2000, that year that I came on the board, Dave O'Neill and Tim Hawkins asked if I would join the board. I inclined, of course, asking my brother and my wife and kids what they thought of me being away from not knowing how much work it really entailed and if I had to change it, and if anything, really I wouldn't change a thing because of the time commitment. It's been a phenomenal experience, and I'm looking forward to whatever, you know, this Association Rodeo Committee is a great step, but whatever else in my next 45, 50 years of life is going to lead me to do. So it's a great step of helping out the industry. So in 13 or 14, when I came on the board, Dave O'Neill asked if I'd come and be a part of this Association Rodeo Committees. Didn't know anything about it. He kind of gave me a backstory. It started late 70s, early 80s of really some large rodeos from Lewiston, Idaho, San Antonio, Cheyenne, et cetera, just getting together and networking, sharing ideas of the functions of rodeo, the production, the hows and the whys, and what we can use, whether it's from security or livestock or announcing or bullfighter. I mean, every gamut, food and all that kind of stuff, and was really just a networking piece. And when I got to it, they were putting more meat to it. So they started a global rodeo conference, and that's how I got introduced to it. And we had a conference in Omaha, Nebraska, when they had the Justin Boots playoffs there in mid-September, right after Pendleton. So we get done with our rodeo and try to get everything cleaned up and jump on a plane on Wednesday and fly to Omaha, where our frickin' butts are still hot from putting on a rodeo.
Golly.
So it was a great thing, but I got involved with it then. 3 years ago, approximately 2.5 years ago, at that time, the chairman was Glenn Allen Phillips from San Antonio. He has since taken a job at Kansas City at the American Royale. And so that left a vacancy, and they saw some potential or leadership ability in myself, and they asked if I would lead the organization, and I gladly accepted, and I believe I've made a difference, and things are going in a great direction. We got a lot of committees formed and a lot of people doing a lot of things. The Association Rodeo Committee is really from being the it was kind of at its inception of a voice from rodeo committees to the PRCA, and we've morphed that to, let's not make it just the PRCA. Let's make it any rodeo organization. So any rodeo committee can be a member of Association Rodeo Committees, and it's simple. You go to www.rodeocommittees.org. We have a place you can pay a membership, $100 annually. You can pay by a credit card right online, get signed up. You get to access to our e-blast, and then I send out some newsletters, and you get industry news as well as your invitation to the Global Rodeo Conference, which moves every once in a while, every couple years or every year. This coming year, we'll get to it. We're moving back to Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm kind of jumping around, but the gist of it was we were thinking that we wanted to get a lot of committees involved that weren't just PRCA. You know, if you're MPRA or IPR or whatever your organization is, and then think vertical from your youth organization. So we're really working at a youth development program with a guy by the name of Don Martin from Elizabeth, Colorado, who's a firecracker, and trying to get youth involved in the sport, and then how to procure them. But really, if they're not going to be the next Ty Murray or the next Trevor Brazil or Chet Johnson or the Wright family, make sure that they're a supporter and a voice for the sport of rodeo and a cheering section for the sport of rodeo, even if they're not the next greatest athlete or even a competitive athlete in the sport, that they can go out there and spread the word of what, you know, the value and the history and the heritage of the sport of rodeo and all the things that come with it.
Man, that's interesting.
Wow.
We've asked NRA, Little Britches, you know, all these different organizations to join. And really the networking piece is a huge component of it. And like I alluded to earlier, of just sharing ideas of, you know, anything from food safety at your events or evacuation programs, security, livestock, how you handle livestock, evac programs for that, announcers or insurance. I mean, there's just anything you can think of that you have to deal with at the rodeo, we make relative somehow, some way, over about a 2 or 3 year period at our global rodeo conferences. And it's been great.
That's very interesting. I think a lot of contestants need to see that side of it too, because even as a rodeo contestant myself, a bareback rider before, and I see it a lot more as a contract act personnel, but we think panels and porta-johns and cook shacks all just grow there, you know, and for the things like that you're doing. Is there somewhere you're going to be maybe like during the NFR or something that some of these committees that would be interested in joining could find you, or are you going to be out here, or is there any way that, you know, a seminar, or what are you doing? Because that's very interesting. I know a lot of committees have that interest.
Yeah, so we're doing a Association Rodeo Committee's mixer on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. at the South Point. And it's in, God, what are those, like Sonoma rooms up
there? Yeah, one of the rooms up. Now, is that the first Wednesday for convention?
It'll be during the convention.
Okay.
And we call it a mixer, and it's really introducing the board. We'll have a quick meeting and some of our initiatives that we're talking about. One is a scholarship committee where we're hoping to introduce it. We're working at it pretty diligently. Wes Allison, Don Martin, and some of our board of directors are working on this committee to a scholarship initiative of smaller PRCA rodeos that have some great rodeo, or that really the down and dirty is, that have some great athletes that are not only that, but also scholars, that maybe their rodeo is a 1,000-eyed rodeo and they can't give away, you know, a large denominational scholarship for an athlete that is really stellar. Well, given access to a pool, if that said rodeo and Nowhere Town, Montana, is a small rodeo, but they have this great athlete coming through, they can go into a pool of all the ARC members, committees, and we'll have a scholarship committee around it and say, man, this person right here is stellar. We're going to match or increase that scholarship this, you know, this recipient is due, so maybe they can go on and do bigger and better things, and again be a proponent of rodeo, but also be successful at it possibly.
I think that's so interesting.
That's awesome.
I'm glad to see that you're in Tamora, because I mean, not every rodeo is the size of a Pendleton or a San Antonio, and these smaller rodeos, and it's sort of like almost a group insurance where you have a conglomeration of these smaller added rodeos that can do that somebody's actually thinking about them some. And, look, and I know they forget sometimes.
What have we learned? We had Ben Lando on the show, right? Talking about Cal Poly raising, you know, future producers, future everything. Yeah, every bit of what comes together. And, you know, just backing this thing up as we always start this conversation is that the road to the NFR is, it's a pretty big road. You know, when you think about all the people that ride on that road.
Yeah, it starts at young.
Yeah.
And I think it's great, Randy, that you guys are doing such as that. And, of course, you know, we all know how good Pendleton is, and it's a good model for everywhere.
I love Pendleton.
Oh, it is super good.
But you know what? I want to add some, though, Randy. You're talking about committees. You know, we've had Dale Brisby on here a few times, and he's very big on talking about certain committees and certain rodeos that have a different way about doing things. So, for instance, Sykeston, I believe, you know, there's a certain age that you hit, and then once you hit that age, you're out. Can't be a part of the committee anymore. And what I'm finding out, you know, sitting here in front of this microphone and talking to individuals like yourself or James Miller or, I mean, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of people we could list off here. And then from face value, you think, you know, if you're not a rodeo fan, you look at these rodeos, you're going to think cowboy hats, boots, it's all the same. And come to find out, not even close.
No.
Not even close. There's so much movement at these rodeos and changes and evolution of what's next.
Yeah,
I mean, you're sitting right in the middle of it, Randy, and what I like on the business marketing side for you is you get to see a lot of the different varieties of what rodeos do and how they come together, and you get to put that all together in a nice pot of gumbo and cook it up, and man, that's one hell of a gig you got there, Randy.
Yeah, it's humbling on one side because I get the opportunity to be a part of Pendleton that is an anomaly. You know, we're our own primary stock contractor per se. We hire all of our own stock contractors. We hand select the stock that comes. I mean, we, you know, all the hiring's done. We don't let anybody else. We don't have a general that does it. And so we're very intimate and hands-on. And the other rodeo committees that maybe can't grasp that or don't want to go to that work, it's not a bad thing, because the contractors that are out there in this world and the producers that are out there are phenomenal people and do a tremendous job, whether it's the taking care of their stock or putting on the rodeo. And they spend so much time trying to make sure that they get ingrained into whatever committee and community they're going to, whether it be Sykeston or Albuquerque or San Juan or Spokane, Washington, wherever it is, they work so hard to make it that rodeo feel like home and to try to benefit that community. That's been one of the greatest things that I have noticed and realized is the passionate people, for the most part, of the sport of rodeo are so community driven that's what, and you guys allude to it a lot on your podcast, is the family. You know, there's Robbie and I met twice, and there's no place that I wouldn't go that I could walk across the airport, go over there and shake his hand, and it's like we're long lost friends. It's just that circle of people that you know, Bo and I have been friends for a while now, and this
that's great.
Arc has really opened up communication where Hill and I text or call back and forth and bounce ideas, and we're looking for ways to grow ARC, grow its membership, and you know, this podcast and sponsorship opportunities are great. I'm the first to tell you I'm not big on the sponsorship part, but I putting a committee together that's going to be a part of it, and actually Bo's joining that team.
You got a good one there.
Yeah, you do.
So, you know, it's so interesting to hear that. We appreciate you. And the main thing is, I want to say real quick, is we appreciate from the guy picking up the garbage out in the parking lot to every bit of this thing, you know. And it takes a good boss to do that. And with you even being the livestock superintendent, see, I didn't know that about Pendleton, that y'all use, you know, that you're your own.
That's a real job.
Yeah. And you're your own, you know, not stock contractor, but you do all the hiring. You don't have one stock contractor there. You do all that. It's very interesting. And
yeah, it's fun. It makes a job a hoot. And then when you're standing out there in front of the bucking chutes every day and you have your wins and you have your re-rides that you're like, oh man, how did I pick that one? But you know, you look at the stats or you watch them buck on Wrangler Network or on Rodeo Live TV, and like, God, you know, that horse bucks so awesome. And you know, and at this arena or at that arena, and Pendleton levels the playing field for not only contestants but for stock. That grass is just an amazing monster in Pendleton.
You know, I hear that so much from contestants, even out, you know, even working the barrel and stuff. All they want's a chance, you know, and there's nothing more disheartening than nodding your head, paying $250, $300, $500 for an entry fee and not have a chance, you know. But when you go there, I mean, you can obviously watch it, or if you're there in person in the afternoons there watching those perfs, those animals, and you look at the scores there, they're really amazing. And y'all have really turned that into something that's phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, Pendleton is something special.
It's great that you and that's a good way to do it, and that's what I think. It's unorthodoxed, and maybe that's what we need to look into some more, is getting out of the little square box of the smaller, you know, with one stock contractor or two at max, you know, and letting them handle it, because you know what they're going to do, but then you guys decide it, and then it's your own if it doesn't work. But but when it does, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but to hear Randy talk, you know what I like hearing you talk, Randy, is the passion. And there's an art in there, right? And very few get to do this on the contracting side, is that there's an art that you're looking for, right? When you're watching on that broadcast, you didn't even mention the cowboy. You were just talking about the stock.
Oh, and I love that. That's his side of it.
No, I know. But I mean, like, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, a guy like Randy is out there looking and he's seeing something different through his camera, right? What he's watching.
Do. That'd be so much fun just to pick animals.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And to see the results.
Because you'll get, my second year of ARC, went back to the rodeo conference, jumped on a plane, headed to Omaha, and the person sat right next to me was no other than Mr. Stephen Peebles.
Nice.
Stephen grew a less than adequate horse at Pendleton, and I got to hear about it on a 4.5-hour plane ride.
I bet he did. Let me tell you something. Right?
Yeah, that's another story, right?
That's great, yeah.
On the flip side of that is one of the big things of doing like what Pendleton does, and what I really try to reach out to other committees where they're looking at either changing their format or changing their stock contractors or anything like that, is one of them, if you're going to change your stock contractor, go talk to the one you have right now.
Yes.
Have great communication with it, because at the bottom of it is, that's really what it is. Because maybe there's just a misfire of communication of what he thinks right, what you're right. You know, there's or what is best, I guess I shouldn't say right. But, you know, a lot of these rodeo committees, they want to have, let's say, the top end of Calgary's. They want the top end of Powder River's. You know, they want those 18 to 22-point horses all the way through their rodeo. Well, if they're open PRC rodeo where they're going to have 45, 50 contestants, where a contractor has to bring in somebody, generally, minus some winter rodeos, mid-small size rodeos, they're not bringing in, you know, a rodeo from a contractor from Iowa,
right,
and another guy from California and Calgary to have a rodeo in the central Idaho. And
exactly.
So the logistics play so much into it. And so you don't want to have the best, you know, you don't want to have the best of the best. You don't want to have all 20-point horses.
Mm-hmm.
Contestants want to have consistency. So make your circle smaller contractors. You'll probably get a better bang for your buck, in my opinion.
Right.
And this is kind of getting the ARC world of passion, is you're going to end up with a bunch of 16.5 to 18-point horses, but every contestant is going to look at who the horses are, and they're going to go, man, they'll call the contractors up and say, hey, what are you taking there? Well, I'm taking my, you know, my A string that's a little bit, you know, been turned out for a while. I'm going to go buck them there. You know, however the wording is, but I think you know where I'm going.
Yes, sir.
You know, take your middle string, and they're still good horses, but if you're bucking everybody else against 16.5 to 18-point horses, all of a sudden it comes back to the contestant to make a good ride.
Absolutely.
Instead of getting some of those, because you're not going to be able to fill up spreading across the United States without paying an arm and a leg and out.
Yeah, trucking.
You're going to end up with 6, 8, 10 horses that are 14, 15-point, 16-point horses that the guys are going to turn out on, which is another huge issue that's always been discussed about at ARC, is the turnout deal. But I think it all comes back to communication amongst the three legs of rodeo, which is committee, contestants, and contractors.
I think that's true, too. And if you know, I've always said this, before you throw the pilot out of the airplane, make sure there's another pilot that can fly the plane.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and, yeah, and I think that communication is so proper. I don't know where we miss that sometimes, and I'm glad. Maybe that's why you're so successful up there, is the communication of it. It's not that hard to communicate with people, whether it be me in the barrel with the bullfighters, the contractors. I love talking to them. Hey, if you got a calf, I don't need to mess up. You know, and that comes from hiring somebody that's responsible.
Rodeo is loaded with communication. Because otherwise, the rodeo ain't going off.
No, it has to be. And, God, you, what's some great information on this? This is awesome.
I'm not afraid to call the kettle black, but some of that communication with a rodeo committee to a stock contractor or a producer is, they're writing a check for X amount of dollars, and generally it's a high 5 to 6 figure number that you're writing to produce your event.
Mm-hmm.
They think that, well, you know, it's like paying a contractor to come wire your house. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing, so I'm going to trust him in doing that. And if it fails, then I'm going to blame it on him and go find somebody else. Well, right. If it fails, go talk to him and go say, you know, really, this is the way I was picturing it working. And I thought, man, I missed that one by a long ways. I'll do better tomorrow night. I'll do better next year. Thanks for giving me a job. I mean, the humbleness amongst so many people in the rodeo world is tremendous, that they're looking for accolades that says good job, but they're also looking for constructive criticism.
Yes. And at the end of the day, our job, and it's just like two airline pilots should be able to get in one airplane. That's the way it works. And the job is to protect the people behind you, and the job is to entertain the people around you. And professionals should be able to work like that. And I fully agree that communication, like you're just talking about, with, you know, and give a guy a chance, and at least, you know, silence is deadly in all parts of our business, you know, from the announcer to the clown to the committee to the stock contractor.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it's tough to wear two different hats sometimes coming from Pendleton, but also, you know, just because you're from a larger rodeo, you still have some or most of the same issues that the smaller and mid-sized rodeos have, but they're just on a different scale.
I got to tell you, Randy, we could do this for a long time. The more I've gotten in conversations about stock and rodeos and committees, I get more interested. And, you know, there's a lot of, actually, I mean, there's not, and correct me if I'm wrong, not a lot of conversation prior to this digital technology. I mean, you guys would have conversations and meetings and things like that physically, but not to where we can spread it, right? Like through digital technology to where you're hearing these kind of conversations. Once again, these conversations went on, but I don't think they went on to where the general public could stumble upon this and listen to Randy talk about this. And
or another committee.
Yeah, anybody. Yeah.
Hopefully this will get a bunch joining you. You know, I mean, that's what we're here for.
Speaking of that, so Randy, how does one get involved with ARC? What can they do? What website do they visit?
So our website is www.rodeocommittees.org. And it has a list of our board members. And we've got a phenomenal team from large and small. We've got Darcy Owens from San Antonio and Leon Vick from Denver. And we've got Dodge City, Kansas, represented in Prescott.
Yeah.
And you got Bo Gardner.
Bo Gardner, who's on a committee. He's not on the board. But there's you know, we just got a great facet and a phenomenal team that brings some great ideas. But if you go on there, we've got some meeting minutes and things like that. We have the place where it's easy to sign up. You just become a member, click on there. Like I said, it's $100 for an annual membership. Our mixer, like I said before, is at Wednesday, first Wednesday of NFR before the first round at 1:30 at the South Point upstairs where the committee meetings are going to be held. We'll have a little sign out there, and then the big thing that we're really excited for this year is moving to Colorado Springs for our global rodeo conference, which will be May 14, 15, and 16 at the Marriott there in Colorado Springs, just a block and a half away from PRCA headquarters and the Hall of Fame. And we'll have an agenda out. You know, some of our agendas you know, we usually get a keynote speaker. Last year we had Johnny Greco from Las Vegas from the Knights come and talk to us and really get us kicked off. We talk about rodeo advocacy and the guys from Game Changer bringing of, you know, Guess the Score, talking about, you know, insurance and youth development and how to get volunteers. Or the flip side of that is maybe you got a volunteer that doesn't fit, and that's a good way to ask them to either go be on another portion of the rodeo, or maybe their duties aren't needed there. You know, we kind of get down to the dirtier stuff, but we have a lot of panel discussions, which has been a huge hit for the last couple of years, where it's just a big round table. We get four or five people up on the in front and just start spitfiring questions at them of hows and whys. We've had Casey Jones there, and this year we're really going to work at getting some contestants there and not make it a, you know, dart throwing per se, but make it a, how can we help contestants, and how can contestants help committees, and how can contractors help committees, and how can contractors help, you know, all those different discussions, talking of, you know, Wrangler Network, talk social media, how to protect your social media, how to protect your media rights for your pictures, different channels of keeping track of your rodeos through, whether it's keeping track of volunteers through Volunteer Local or something of the like, or using different organizations, you know, for your website. You know, we just go through a whole gamut of things that everybody can grab something from to improve their rodeo when they get back and take to their committees or however their avenue of communicating it.
I think that's amazing, and I hopefully our newest goal is during the convention at my booth even is going to be getting these committees involved, and hopefully this will really help to get some of these committees, you know, joining this ARC, and I think it's essential. I mean, if you're going to put on a rodeo, because you're getting information of so much stuff. I mean, just what you've mentioned in the last 5 minutes with protection from media to like protection of rights and stuff. Who talks about that? And I'll dang sure do my part to send, you know, the committees your way out there to convention this year and make sure. And please stop by our booth a few minutes, you know, because there may be a committee that would like to know something like that. So you're more than welcome to come by there and hang out and talk to some of them.
You bet. No, I stay pretty busy. I'm not much of a gambler and drinker, but I try to stay pretty busy. But really, a lot of it, what's brought to it was when I get out there, is it gets created organically just from committees wanting to know or who to go talk to. I don't have the answers, but I know some people that are extremely passionate about different key components of rodeo that I can say, all right, I'm going to schedule this one to go talk to Bo Gardner about sponsorships, or I'm going to go talk to this person about stock, or I'm going to go talk about this person about security. And there's just some, you know, just that's been the, I'm the beneficiary of all of this stuff because I get to digest and take in all this information. And then I just go out and start networking and ask people. And it's been great.
Yeah. You get all the information. I mean, seriously, you get to checks and balances of things that are happening out there and incorporate into what you're doing, man. That's awesome. Well, you know, this once again, everyone we talk to, we know you got to be on to something else.
Yes, I'm such a student of this game, and I love it. And I tell you what, this is not only it's fun, but this has benefited me a lot. This
Absolutely.
Entire podcast system of what the people we've learned. And Randy, you're awesome on here, and but thank you so much for all this information. And hopefully somebody will take this and get a hold of you, and you know, somebody struggling, like you said. Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah, my information's on the website. It's email and phone numbers on there. It might take a while for me to get back to you, but I don't just push delete. I'm pretty good about getting back to people because I'm passionate about the sport from tip to tail, either in Pendleton or Motown, Oklahoma. I think there's not only communities that can benefit, but there's this whole industry can benefit by great communication and great networking.
Totally agree.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for joining the show, Randy.
You bet. Look forward to seeing you guys in Vegas. Thank you.
Please come by and see us. Thank you.
Will do. All right. Take care.
Hi, I'm Boyd Paul Hamus, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
The next generation of rodeo stars will compete in Las Vegas at the Junior World Finals presented by Yeti. December 5th through 14th at Cowboy Christmas inside the Las Vegas Convention Center, more than 850 youth contestants will compete for titles in 9 events. Bull riding, team roping, tie down roping, steer wrestling, barrel racing, breakaway, pole bending, mini saddle bronc riding, and mini bareback riding. Competitions start at 9 a.m. daily inside the Wrangler Rodeo Arena. Visit NFRExperience.com for details.
We're interviewing just about the gamut of every single profession that takes place in the rodeo business.
Yes, we've interviewed a couple rodeo clowns. Yep. We've interviewed some hosts of some places, some country music singers. Now we get to even dig deeper.
Yes. This is a good recipe. No pun.
That's twice. Okay, yes. That's twice. I mean, you said cold turkey a minute ago.
So this, our guest here, this is his name, Chef Craig from TI, otherwise known as Treasure Island. Welcome to the show, Chef Craig.
Thank you very much.
This is a different take. You know, like I said, we've interviewed quite a few different people, and talking to a chef about the rodeo it's an interesting angle, right? I mean, how long have you been? We'll just jump right into this bad boy. TI plays a big part of the National Finals Rodeo, no doubt about it. It's got Gillies. It's got everything in the backdrop of everything that you have with restaurants. What is your ultimate role with TI as it pertains to the NFR and restaurants and everything else that goes on there? What's your role, Chef Craig?
Personally, so I'm the kind of what they call the chef and bee here. So I run food. I'm the executive chef, but I also run food and beverage. And I've been here for a couple decades, believe it or not.
Nice.
And I was actually instrumental. Mr. Ruffin, who owns Treasure Island, used to have Gillies over at the New Frontier time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to frequent that quite a bit because I'm a bit of a rodeo fan and I like country music and all that stuff. So when he took over Treasure Island in 2008, 2009, he was asking, what do you think we should do to the property? And I said, I think you need a Gillies here. So he kind of liked that idea. He had, he still owned the rights to Gillies. And so we opened a Gillies. And it's been very successful ever since. And it's kind of a double-edged sword for me because I used to like to go and hang out at Gillies. Now I got to work at Gillies. So I kind of shot myself in the foot, but that's okay. It's okay. So, yeah, so we've been open since for 10 years, since 2010. In April 2010, we opened up Gillies and been growing strong ever since.
It's a great location. So what's the name? Why is it named Gillies?
So Gillies is actually after Mickey Gillies, the country singer who's Jerry Lee Lewis, his cousin. And in the 80s, late 70s, 80s, he was out touring around, and the owner of Gillies, guy by name, the original Gillies, Sherwood Cryer, but it wasn't called Gillies at the time, saw him and decided and approached him and said, would you like to go into business with me or partnership? So he used his name and he got royalty rights to it. And he opened up Gillies in Pasadena, Texas. And that lasted a while. I think there was a fire burnt down, but he's still associated with it. Actually, he's been here several times. When we first opened Gillies, he came up to check out, you know, his new namesake, so to speak, and a very nice gentleman. So that's where it's from. It's from Gillies. And, of course, the Urban Cowboy was a, you know, a big
Bud and Sissy.
Yeah, that started.
I do the Pasadena Rodeo every year, and they're still stuck.
I love that movie.
Bud and Sissy every day there. Everybody there drives an old Ford truck with the license plate in the back of it.
That's awesome.
You bet. You know,
yeah, so we got the mechanical bull just like they did in the original in the movie. So that's a lot of fun. And, so that's how it came about.
Do you have the old Airstream camper out in the back like they did at Gillies? You remember where Wes Hightower lives? You remember the old inmate?
No, but you know what? I actually wanted to put a trailer park out in front of it and do like a called Gillies Trailer Park. I actually pitched that to Mr. Ruffin a couple of months back. He's thinking about it. He doesn't want to get rid of the boats, but we'll see.
Well, I'll be your first customer.
Well,
okay?
Hey, there's not an idea in this town that you can't shy away from. Right, and bring it to life. So, all right, you deal. You oversee the filling people's bellies full of good treats and good things, and
it's good too.
So, how do you prepare differently for knowing your clientele for the month of December? Do you do that?
Not really. It's our menu is heavy barbecue. You know, like Texas barbecue. We do barbecue from around the state. We do some Carolina barbecue and stuff like that too. Oh, but man, mostly it's Texas, like brisket and stuff like that. So it's a barbecue centric place, and we have country music, you know, all year round, and it's pretty true to form to a honky tonk saloon. We try to be.
Chef Craig, could you just real quick, because I think everyone hears the word barbecue, and that's a pretty kind of broad word, right? What's the difference? And you mentioned it. What's the difference between like Texas barbecue and Carolina barbecue?
Well, barbecue, like in Texas, it's mostly smoke. And in Carolina, they use smoke too. But Texas is very beef-centric. You know, they got a lot of beef down there. Carolina, they use more pork. And then the rubs are different. The sauces that go with it, Carolina uses a mustard sauce. In Texas, they hardly use much sauce. It's mostly just rubs and then smoked. Then you get the Memphis where they have the sweeter barbecue sauce. But, you know, the lines kind of blur, especially when people are not purists. And we're not certainly that particular. But if we're going to do a brisket, we do a brisket, you know, and just smoke it. We got a big smoker, and we'll smoke like 700 pounds at a time.
Man.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun day.
I bet.
And but it's very good barbecue. Yeah, we've got a great chef in there that runs it, and he's been with me for a long time. He's a very talented guy.
Well, that's very interesting to me. How many, as you being the head chef or executive chef there, I guess that's what you call it, is how many venues are there where actually food where you're in charge of from a buffet up through? How many?
Starbucks, 17.
Golly.
Yeah.
Wow. What is some of your favorites there? I mean, obviously, you're going to say all of them, you know, but what are maybe, besides Gilly's, give us like maybe two or three that.
The restaurants?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a great seafood restaurant called a Seafood Shack. The name sounds like it's a little dumbed down a little bit, but it's very good. Everything's fresh. We bread, like, and even the fried food that we use, like the fried scallops and shrimp, we get fresh shrimp, and we hand breaded everything ourselves. So that's one of our signature restaurants. It's very good. We also just remodeled our buffet. It's been open just about a year now, a little over a year that we remodeled it, and it's really I'm really proud of it. It's another feather in my cap. It's kind of more, a little bit more modern. I wanted the feel of like kind of like a Whole Foods meets a buffet kind of feel. So it's a.
I like that.
There's something for everybody. There's healthy stuff, and then I wanted, and also kind of like the skinny fats kind of concept. I like that idea
there
too,
you
where
go.
You get something healthy, or if you want to eat bad, you can do that too.
Right. We'd like to thank Brylan for scheduling Chef Craig right before lunch. Thank
yeah,
you.
Seriously,
why
I
didn't
was
we do him
that.
First?
That
Or right after lunch. You know what? We're on our way. We got time.
Yeah.
Why would you do that, Brian? We're sitting here talking about all this food.
Hey, I want to back up real quick because Chef Craig brought up skinny fats. You know, in Vegas, we have this restaurant. It's located kind of spread out throughout the community. But literally, it caters to what he was talking about, skinny fat, right? You look at the menu, you got one side that's just, it's the calorie count is beyond mention. Mm-hmm. And then you got the left side that's the skinny side. So
I'm going more with the one you need the cardiologist.
Yeah. I met the gentleman who came up with that. It was a brilliant idea. And I'm and that's what buffets are too. If you think about it, I mean, buffet is like, you know, it's total gluttony. But you know, if you're on a business trip or you're trying to be healthy or you want to eat a salad, you know, we have that there too. So,
well, and so we're talking about filling your bellies, feeling good. There's also some other good things that go on over TI. I believe that there's some laughter to be had with Chad Prather. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, he's going to be here. Let's see, what night is that? I have to look at my notes here. Actually, I do have notes.
We were just talking about that date on there with him. He is a great guy too. He kind of tells it like it is, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's December 13th. Yep. Mr. Chad Prather will be there.
Yeah, I didn't get. I haven't yet to see him. Hopefully, I'll be able to sneak into the showroom and give him a and check him out.
He's an old Texan.
Well, and yeah, he's definitely a bit polarizing on his social media. He's polarizing. Yes. I don't know about the show. Yeah, I've never got to see the show, but he's definitely very on point with what he's trying to convey across with his jokes and everything else he's doing. So obviously you've been, wow, you said decades when you said you've been a part of the Vegas rodeo scene, casino.
Yeah.
You've gotten to see a lot of growth. You know, and you said you're a fan of things.
Yeah.
Who are maybe a couple of your favorite contestants you've gotten to meet over the past years?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of the rodeo. I'm a little embarrassed. I don't know the boys. I did see a thing last night about the Wrights. I was watching TV.
The 60 Minutes. About the Wrights. Yep.
That whole family from Utah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of local. So I guess I'll be like cheering for them when they're in town. But, you know, I meet these guys, and I'm more about the music, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I like the bands, you know, that come in through. We got some great bands coming through year after year. And but, yeah, the rodeo, there's so much going on in the rodeo, from Cowboy Christmas to the bands to getting to the rodeo. And it's my favorite time of year is rodeo in Vegas.
Do you think it's by far probably your busiest time, too, isn't it? I guess you have.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a busy 10 days. But like I said, it's so much fun. The rodeo crowd, they're just, to me, they're the greatest people. They're all very polite and cool. You're here for a good time. And
That's good to hear.
Yeah. But, you know. They get a little rowdy, but that's all right. All good fun. But but it's a great group. I really look forward to the rodeo every year.
So
we do also have a viewing. We do a viewing in the rodeo.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. So if you don't have tickets or, you know, for every night, because I know it can get kind of rough to get tickets over there, we do a viewing in Gillies. We set up a schoolroom-style tables from like 6:45 to 9. So through the whole rodeo, you can sit there on a big screen, and, you know, we got food and beverage. And Gilly Girls serving you, and you can watch the rodeo from Gilly's. And then we ask everybody to get up, and we convert it back into a saloon and set up for the bands to come on around 10 and do some line dancing and some dancing.
See, that's what's so great. And also the Bull Riders there, that's the home of the Bull Riders there at TI.
Yep,
and,
yep.
Treasure Island, and I've hosted that party, and I love eating there. That's the one place of all the venues we go to, I love to eat there. And it's so neat getting to talk to. I have to ask you this one question, okay? This is so important as a dumb old rodeo clown myself. When you go home at night, does somebody cook for you, or do you have to, or do you have to cook, or do you just like make a tomato sandwich and be left alone?
Yeah, it's usually like I get home and like look in the fridge and go, oh, I guess I'll have eggs again.
Yeah. Well, they say a painter's house needs painting the worst. But,
right, exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, what's funny, too, is I'll go home and go, man, I'm starving. And I'm working with food all day long. But I get home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I hope you get somebody to cater to you or you cook for you, because that would be kind of weird to have to cook all day and then do it.
But, you know, my current role, I don't do a lot of hands-on cooking. I do a lot of hands-on eating.
Yes, exactly.
And I do actually cook quite a bit at home, just because I miss it from time to time. Because, like I said, in my current role, I'm a little bit more administrative and Q&A and R&D.
Yep. I see. I bet you're fun at Thanksgiving. I want to go to his house. Don't you know? Having the upside-down turkey.
And that's a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet, golly. But do you have just a standard oven at home, or do you have the giant ovens? I bet your kitchen.
No, it's pretty – well, I got two ovens, but, yeah, they're not – I don't have the convention, and I didn't trick it out. I do have a green egg that I love.
Oh, yes, I love green eggs.
Yeah, those are awesome.
You know what? I'm going to back it up. You brought up the viewing parties, and we were talking about this on an individual by the name of Justin Rumford. His name is Rump. He's a bullfighting clown. He's similar to Rob. And he's been in the rodeo business quite a while. His family's been in it. And he hosts a few things over at the Orleans. However, he brought up this concept, talking about the viewing parties. He's like, it's similar to the Super Bowl parties that people have at home, or you have this kind of this very intimate but yet party. You have an intimate party, but that's, as to your point, things get a little rowdy, right? It's a rodeo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what in comparison to this, and I know you do others, right? We have NCAA March Madness. We have boxing matches. We have UFC matches. How does this stack up to those when you have these kind of parties?
Like I said, it's my favorite. I think it's the people that come in for the rodeo are just, like I said, the best. They're the best. The other parties are great too, and NASCAR is always big for us, and there's a similar crowd, but just I just like the Cowboys and cow ladies.
Yeah. No, arguing absolutely. Here. In the Wrangler jeans.
Yes. Yes. So hopefully we'll get to see you over there during the autograph session. I'd sure like to meet you. And
sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's Wednesday the 11th, right?
Yes, sir. We'll be in there. Yep. So hopefully you can get in there and see everybody, and we'll get to put a face with this great chef.
Oh, thank you. They'll definitely stop by and say howdy.
The chicken fingers there are amazing, by the way. That is my go-to. Remember last year we were doing the autographs there, and I had me a big old plate of chicken fingers. I just wanted to go home and lay down.
He's
so good.
Good, good.
Robbie's getting ready to go into a food coma.
I am. Right here at lunch. Why would you do that?
So, Chef Craig, listen, as all our guests that we have on air, you guys are busy. You guys got to get back to work. I mean, we really appreciate the time that you took to share Treasure Island. Everything goes on over there at on the Strip during the rodeo in December. Really thank you for coming on.
Yes,
absolutely. Come by and see us. I look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday, and let's get her done.
Yeah, and have a good run, man. It's a lot of run, so all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Looking for tickets to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo? StubHub is the official secondary and fan-to-fan site of the rodeo. Fans can buy and sell their tickets through a safe and secure online marketplace. Visit nfrexperience.com.
Well, that's a wrap on that one. Wow, Robbie.
I told y'all it wasn't going to be about a chef making ravioli there. This guy is a big fan of country music, wasn't it? Isn't it interesting how he...
Yeah, he obviously didn't know too much about the rodeo, and I don't, that's hard. But, yeah, he's a country music fan. He's been in Vegas for quite a while, decades, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very well aware of the National Finals Rodeo and what it means in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and the history of Gillies and the whole deal and why Gillies is there. You know, I mean, I think he explained it pretty doggone good. And thank you, Bo Gardner, for getting us Randy Bracker. That was awesome. You know,
yes,
totally different side of rodeo, from the committees to, you know, and the things with the scholarships, with the littler rodeos, you know, and how they were going to make it into a pool, you know, to try to help these little rodeos, because those are the ones that pays the bills. You know, the big ones are exciting, but the little rodeos, you know, and I think it's very interesting. And if you're a rodeo committee out there, you need to join this.
Yeah. You know, and it's also the innovation side of where, you know, if you're looking at it at face value, you're thinking like, oh, they're all rodeos, they go the same. Well, not when we talk to Randy and he shares the difference in what committees and how they go about with each rodeo and the connective tissue that happens within the community, the committees, the rodeo, and everything else that exists. He's right in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, I felt like, and this is what I really enjoyed about it, was Randy is the livestock director and how they go and they pick the animals and stuff. And
that was also nice to talk about.
No, that was so cool. And he's the livestock director at one of the biggest rodeos in the country, Pendleton, but you felt like that he could understand even a small rodeo. And that's so appreciative, because sometimes the bigger rodeos, you know, they're worried about, well, you got to have your $12 billion budget and stuff, you know. And I think he could get down on the level of a smaller rodeo with a $30,000 budget just as much as he could at a $5 million Pendleton, or I'm not sure what their numbers are. But I really enjoyed. I would like to visit with him when he comes out here to, you know, for the NFR. I think I want to sit down with him, because I feel like in my business, the more I understand that side of it, and the more these contestants realize these panels don't grow there and these porta-johns don't, that it will help us all grow this sport.
Or how those big, giant checks get into the arena side for the prize money, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, and sponsorships, and, you know, and he hit on everything. And I think this is a good episode. And if you're a committee, if you want to, you know, listen to this more than once, because there's a lot in there to digest.
Yeah. And remember, if you listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to NFR Extra Podcast, hit subscribe. And if you get a second, leave that comment. Let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, let us know what's going on out there in the world. Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the Rovers and the Racers and the Bulls and the Browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight Wranglers and the cowboy hats.